And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. Oh, what a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas from tonight already. Of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, it's all over now, baby blue.
What do you mean by that?
The Blue Secret Space program that we've been building out as a theme and letting you know that that was in development is going to be coming out. And I'm going to announce that now. That whole documentary piece that we're doing on it is going to come out on November 17th in preparation for the 60th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And this is a very special piece that we've put together for you, and we'll premiere it at 8 o'clock. And that's going to be something very special. Friday, November 17th. Mark your calendars now. And this is for JFK's 60th assassination anniversary. And, you know, it's interesting too, because of course, watching the X series, some of the viewers here know some of the details, of course, but we're putting some things on the record there that have not come out, and they are related to this Secret Space program, Blue program. And I'll explain Blue as a larger overview in the documentary, but this is very special. And what we'll do there is we'll have it out, and we'll have it streaming directly off of darkjournalist.com. So if you're on the newsletter list for that, you're going to get the notice for how to access it and everything else. But this is going to be something special. As you might know, we're putting that together. So tonight we have something very special for you, which is an update on election 2024, including the UFO file, RFK, Trump, and Biden World War III drums, along with the continuity of government program and all the deep state whirligigs that are going on as we watch here. One of the things I want to point out in particular, well, we'll go about 90 minutes tonight, if that sounds good. And in the last half hour, we'll take your questions. I'll remind you, you can ask your questions at any time during tonight's broadcast. And Miss Olivia is putting those together. And we have some really interesting things to go over in relation to the election here. But before I go further, Miss Olivia, what do you got?
W.C. Ray says, has there ever been a lower moment in American history?
It's hard to find one. In terms of a perfect storm of circumstances. And a lot of that rests directly on the Biden regime. And what's going on with the Biden regime is truly a scandal. And some of the scandalous pieces are now coming out. It's very interesting that the Republican Congress finds itself without a speaker. And it was a few ambitious Republicans along with the whole House of Democrats. And these Republicans thought, well, we can get McCarthy out and get somebody better, you know, more aligned to really more independent streak. But the problem was all the Democrats went along with it because they realized it would cause chaos for the Republicans. And the Republicans have not been able to get back to speakership control, neither the Democrats, but the Republicans control that chamber. So this is kind of a waste of time and energy on their part. And what's interesting to me is when you look out over that situation, you see that the last piece of legislation they were picking up there was the Biden impeachment, in fact. And that impeachment was crucial because of all the information that was coming out. Well, now it's come out through the House that one of the pieces of information or evidence that they have is a direct $200,000 payment to President Biden from his brother related to this Chinese company. So this could be the smoking gun. And with a real congressional committee, they probably could press that thing home. So this invitation to chaos that showed up just before the war stuff hit and, you know, all the different shenanigans that we've been seeing on the world stage, including these nuclear tests that the United States is doing for the first time since 1996. That's pretty dramatic news. And Russia announcing, oh, we're giving up on that whole nuclear test ban treaty. Well, that's President Kennedy's 1963 treaty. So Stepford Biden has really stepped in it here. And they've pushed us into this war footing. And then, of course, they wheeled out Biden to make this statement yesterday. And he's like, we'll be the you know, the armaments factory for democracy and all this craziness harkening back to World War II. They're just dragging us into wars which shouldn't exist at all. It's very easy to support allies without putting our own troops at risk in any way, shape, or form, and we shouldn't be involved. As a matter of fact, Biden going over there and meeting with Netanyahu just inflamed the whole region, which is why nobody else met with them. So that whole, you know, scenario, there's a lot of different parts on that international stage regarding what's going on in the Middle East. But I'll tell you that the real telltale is the resurfacing of George W. Bush.
He's
got a new book out, Portraits and Courage. Oh, gee. His painting, Majesty, rivals Leonardo da Vinci, a great artist. This is a weird thing, though. I would say that what we have with W coming back is they're trying to roll in that feeling of here come the terrorists, you know, and like, here's the different terror alerts that we can get into. And remember, you have to give up your rights at airports and all that stuff that we had going on. So it's very coordinated. Don't get me wrong. There are real terrorists in the world. And there's no question that they hate Americans. But this is also used. Remember the whole thing that we learned through the work of Professor Peter Dale Scott about designated culprits. They're very handy, especially when they come out of a real, genuine movement and you're able to pin everything on them. So whatever they have in mind in terms of emergency powers from a kind of a situation of maximum peril or chaos, well, that's the way that they can really maintain control, because a lot of what we're covering tonight is election 2024 after all. And I'll tell you, it's terrible news for Biden. I've been studying the polls, and most of the polls have Trump up 7 to 10 points. I kid you not. Democrat polls even have him up 4 or 5 points. So everyone knows that if the election were held today, it would be landslide on Trump's behalf. We have very interesting wild card, of course, which is Bobby realizing that the DNC was rigged against him and that all the delegates that he would get from winning in places like New Hampshire and Ohio would actually go into the win column for Biden. So he just said, I'm out of here. And he took this independent route. Now, we don't know where that will lead. It's very difficult to get on the ballot in all 50 states unless he had gone with a party like the Libertarian Party, who has the access to do that, but unfortunately runs pretty weak candidates every time out. You know, I'm very sick of seeing the Libertarians with like 1% of the vote. Can you get a dynamic candidate? Come on. Because they have ballot access everywhere. This other platform, which is the No Labels Party, they wanted to get one Democrat and one Republican to run. And they were talking about that, peeling votes off of both sides. They're on the ballot in 28 states right now. And they're heading on up towards 50. Bobby is starting at a severe disadvantage on the independent side, and he has to run like crazy and jump through hoops to get on the ballot in all of these states. But there's the long arm of the Kennedy machine, and I don't think it will fail him in this regard. So I do expect him to be a player throughout. Part of what we can talk about tonight, we've mentioned it before, but I've stayed away from it because I thought Bobby really wanted to win in the Democratic Party, and until it was rigged and it was clearly shown to him that he wasn't going to win there, this idea about Trump and Bobby merging into a ticket is very interesting. And I'll get into some of the particulars on that tonight. There is no real technical hurdle to doing this. That's the interesting thing, especially since he's declared himself an independent. You know, just as Bernie Sanders, although he caucuses with Democrats, called himself an independent and was able to run in the Democratic primary, you know, there was a whole idea about what would happen if he went independent. So this whole piece about Trump being able to have RFK as his running mate, it could be none. Now, whether either of them desire that is another question, but a lot of the polling data that's coming out shows them splitting some of that independent vote, which could be more of a boon for the disastrous Biden campaign. But every now and then you see certain polls coming out that say, actually, you know, Biden loses in places like Michigan and stuff when Bobby's on the ticket. So some of the more authentic voices out there, the People's Pundit and guys like that, who really study the numbers close, basically saying that RFK at this point shaves some of the numbers off of Trump. And then you have other people who do polling who are saying, well, you know, there's some disadvantages here for Biden. So it looks like both the camps are a little nervous about Bobby, and they should be. But this is also interesting, which is an independent has never won the White House before. The person who came the closest was Teddy Roosevelt, who had already been in there as a Republican. And then when he came back with his own Bull Moose Independent Party, he almost won the whole thing. But he split the anti-vote with Taft, and Wilson got in. That's how Wilson got in. And so when we look at that, you know, we've seen some over the years, you know, Wallace in the 60s, if you go back and trace it, he had pretty substantial support, like 10% support. John Anderson in 1980 had 8% of the vote on the independent side. And then the ultimate home run hitter, Ross Perot, who shows up strangely enough in the Torbit document, which is that secret leak of JFK information from 1970. But it's very interesting because Perot actually won 20% of the vote in 1992. And if you look at that arrangement, he took from the incumbent there, from Bush, and that's how Clinton got in with barely 40% of the vote. So there's been some interesting things that have happened. We don't know how this will all play out. But again, if none of them get to 270, then it goes into the House of Representatives. And this Congress that doesn't have a speaker yet at this point, if they hopefully will have a speaker by then, because this Congress will be the one that decides who's in or who's out. So, and that's a straight vote in Congress. And of course, right now, you know, if that came up, you have a Republican Party that's dominant. And so you would assume, okay, well, the Republicans would vote in their guy because that's how it would run. It's a real possibility that with three major candidates, like what we're talking about with Trump and with President Biden and RFK Jr., and again, President Biden just being major because he has his hands in the machinery, his numbers, his poll numbers are terrible, and his performance in the economy or in the world stage, you know, his feeble interviews and speeches, you know, people are very aware of all that, and nobody really wants this guy, not even the Democrats. So the question is, who's going to be running? Is it going to be Biden? Are they going to switch him out? We're going to assume just for this show that it is Biden, and who becomes the Democrat nominee ultimately, but he may not make it. So you could be looking at somebody like Gruesome Newsom, who they were, you know, Governor Newsom, they were rolling him out for a little while, having him do interviews and say all this wild stuff. But the truth is that in the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, they haven't been pushing him as much. So I have a feeling the data that they got back from that didn't work out so well. Mm-hmm. Oh, poor Gavin. Shucks.
Now, John Madre is asking, could this debacle of the speaker selection be a form of stalling any decisions on the current events?
In terms of like funding Ukraine, I have a whole section here about what Biden is asking for, basically $100 billion for Ukraine and for Israel. And he's shoving in the majority of this money to Ukraine while using the cover of this Israel situation and saying we need to pump up our ally. Well, we do. You know, we give them billions of dollars. They have tons of protection and arms and everything else from us. So that's not really what the issue is there with Israel. And we can continue to do that. But to try to sneak in that bill and say, oh, it's the Israel defense bill. By the way, here's $90 billion for Ukraine, which nobody wants to send any more money to. That's the sneakiness that's going on there, along with the very, very illegitimate speech. One of the most illegitimate speeches by an American president in history, I think, last night, pretending that, you know, democracy is under attack and we have to protect it around the world by giving them first all our money. And then he's like, you know, we don't want to send troops into Russia, but, you know, all this nonsense. Look, right now, there could be a peace deal in relation to Ukraine. They haven't exercised any effort in that direction. The Biden administration has no clue. They have crazy Anthony Blinken this Clinton reject and their Secretary of State, Lloyd Austin, who doesn't know anything. The only thing he wants to do is make sure that his soldiers can wear dresses, okay? I mean, these guys, you know, this is not playing for real on a world stage. And, you know, this isn't The View or something. This is the United States of America represented on the world stage. And so they need to kind of clean out these bozos. It's only a new administration that can do that. And I am sorry to all the cynical voices out there who say, oh, the presidential election doesn't matter. Look, this one matters, okay? And we have the forces out there that can smash the Biden regime. And they are Bobby's Camelot reawakening, coming on strong, and Trump on the other side. Between the two, they will smash that regime. And the only thing is they can't fire at each other while they're doing it. I think that's the important thing for us to remember. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special. We're going to go about 90 minutes with you here. Election 2024, beat the deep state UFO file, COG World War. I'm working on a very interesting and important special for you that's going to be coming out on November 17th at 8 p.m. as a documentary. And it's for the JFK 60th anniversary assassination that's going on there. And the horror of the fact that the government still has not given us the records after 60 years. And, you know, once in a while you just get these flashes through the media, but nothing actually happens in relation to the official story on it, which, you know, we've known for years has been a gigantic cover story laid out by the Warren Commission. Very interestingly, in a year where we have the son of Senator Robert Kennedy running for president, that they've decided, not only did they say we're going to kick the can on the JFK records, they said, no, we're not going to give you any more. That's it. It's done. No more JFK records, which is against the law, actually, because the law is put in place as a result of a bill in 1992. So all of this plays in. And when you really look at the 2024 election, I'm going to tell you it's all about space. Think about that. It's all about space. And you're going to find included in that are these 60-year-old JFK records. You're going to find the UFO file and the UFO threat, which the CIA tried to roll out through these various and sundry whistleblowers, quote unquote, whistle crack, as I call them. And, you know, these guys are interesting because a lot of them came out and they tested different modes of how they could do this. And in the summer, when you really don't get a lot of congressional activity for anything, they rolled out this whole dog and pony show with the intelligence agent Grush. It's all connected to NGA, all trained by CIA and all those people. And, you know, massaged into position by Lou Elizondo and groomed for all that. So that whole thing was a sham, but it's very interesting to see the pieces that come out of that whole thing, showing that what they want to do is roll out the UFO threat. They want to roll out the idea of their CIA narrative of the UFO file's false disclosure. So this is very important for us to put on the map, because these campaigns, the Trump campaign and the Bobby campaign, both have very strong and very secret ties directly to the UFO file. And in my opinion, they should bring that front and center forward and say, yes, we're willing to deal with this issue. Yes, we'll be transparent about it. Yes, it's time that that comes out of the government. All of that kind of conversation, instead of letting this kind of Biden CIA freak show run the whole table in relation to this issue. It's a really bad idea. And, you know, the generation that Bobby and Trump are from, I think that they're thinking this is better as a secret. It's not, actually. And I'll explain why in this episode. I also want to remind you that you can go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our free newsletter. That keeps you in touch and lets you know about all the incredible things that we have coming up for you, like this very special premiere we're doing on November 17th for the JFK assassination 60th anniversary. And, you know, it takes basically 30 seconds to sign up and it's free. So make sure, especially if you're new here, to stand up and be counted, that you're on the newsletter, because you'll get the first, you know, notice in relation to documentaries, events that we have coming up, special X series episodes, and incredible interviews that we'll be doing from here through the end of the year that will blow your mind. And some of those people we'll be talking about tonight as we speak. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Thomas Ball says, do the deep state factions represent different space technologies, Trump tech versus Biden tech?
Well, it's not Trump or Biden tech, but it's sort of access to it. You know, a lot of people, even people who are very hardcore Trump fans, wonder what all the resistance is about. And at my long arc of study around Trump and Tesla and Uncle John Trump and MIT and X technology, all that whole piece in the UFO file related to John Trump convinces me that Trump represents an equal at that table with the deep state on a few areas, the geopolitics, the political chicanery, possibly that secret system of finance and the UFO file, making him very hard to manipulate, except with threats like what they're doing. Oh, you posted a picture online, you know, with this local judge in New York saying, I might imprison you, you know. And I actually have these stories. But I think the thing for us to keep in mind is the faction that has Biden. I mean, if you just look at that conversation he was having on the plane, you know, and you saw John Kirby from the Pentagon there, and, you know, you see these different, like Blinken there, and they're all hovering around Biden because they don't want him to say the wrong thing. And at one point they say, stop talking. That's the quote. And Richard, you know, Grinnell pointed that out today, the former intel guy for Trump. And he said, wait a minute. You know, is that the Pentagon spokesman saying, stop talking to the president? This is the nature of the situation. So Biden isn't Biden. Biden is a committee, and it's run by deep state committee, basically. So that end of the technology further and further back represents, you know, the kind of expertech group that we refer to on this program. But Biden himself is so out of the loop as the top of that chain that he's very much a figurehead and really somebody who's in a situation not to really be informed. As a matter of fact, I think that they would probably leave him out of the loop on a number of different things because they just don't want him, you know, spilling it in some kind of senile Alzheimer's-y way. Another thing I would say about that that's interesting, though, is that Trump himself represents somebody who, given the opportunity, has referred and alluded to advanced technology. So he's talked about invisible jets. He's talked about, you know, us having technology that the world couldn't dream of, things of this nature. And then over and over again, going back to this topic of his uncle and kind of wistfully mentioning, oh, my uncle, he was such a genius, and so on. So that's the hint there that I keep bringing up my uncle. That's the UFO file symbology that he's using. And we get into that a little bit tonight as well. What I'm going to do, I'm going to come into the 2024 election via 1963. And this is very interesting. JFK at the UN proposes on September 20th, 1963, a joint lunar expedition with the Soviets. And this is quite fascinating because this had never been mentioned before. And apparently it caught a number of people in our government off guard. Now, what's interesting is that deep state apparatus may have been monitoring President Kennedy very closely. And one of the things he was doing, and it gets talked about only in a few very important little biographies and things, is that he had a whole network of people who were capable of communicating and going around the State Department, going around the CIA, going around the administration. So he had ways and means. He had couriers, as it were, to communicate with people so that nobody was diving into his conversations. One of these was revealed by Judith Exner, who was a mistress of his, who was very connected, and he had actually met through, she was connected with that Vegas scene. She was an actress. And what was the name of that actor she was married to? He played Charlie X. But it's very interesting.
Robert something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming to me.
Mm-hmm. He was very interesting. They had a short marriage, but she was in that kind of environment. And a lot of people say that this was Frank Sinatra trying to kind of cozy up and get favoritism with Kennedy. Whatever it was, Exner had a very deep relationship with Kennedy, and he started to use her as a courier to different people on the inside and to get information. And a lot of people who had written about this, like Seymour Hersh, you know, Dark Side of Camelot, and like, oh, how evil Kennedy was and all this stuff, paying off contractors and the mob and all this stuff, you know, to kill Fidel Castro. That's all CIA hogwash. The CIA were trying to kill Fidel Castro, and Kennedy was spying on them. One of the interesting things about Exner is, you know, they think, you know, Hersh, when he's writing the book, thinks that Kennedy's getting payoffs from the mob, okay, and that that's what's being taken back and forth. What's interesting is that Exner, at a very crucial moment, decides, I'm not going to just be the courier anymore. I'm going to see. I'm too curious. What's in this package? And she opens it up, and it's a bunch of blueprints. So this is how Kennedy was keeping an eye on this other level of technology that was growing. And there was somebody in that military industrial complex structure that he was getting that information from. And somehow the interface that moved there is this, you know, kind of mafia don girlfriend, Judith Exner. And that was so interesting to me when I heard about it, because I remembered all these conversations and all these different things with people like Arthur Schlesinger and people who are around the Kennedy circle talking about how he was communicating with world leaders. And he was going outside of his State Department and Secretary of State to do it. And the way that that worked is, you know, somebody would show up at a cafe in Washington, D.C., and a newspaper would land on their table, and they pick up the newspaper, they get on a plane, they'd go to West Berlin, they'd sit down, they'd have a coffee, somebody would come in from the Soviet Union, pick up the newspaper and bring it to Premier Khrushchev, and Premier Khrushchev would fill his own out. The guy would show up at the coffee house, again, pass off the newspaper. This person would take it, land in D.C. the next day. He's reading the paper, and then he has the envelope there for President Kennedy. He shows up, special, you know, car service directly from the White House, meets directly, gets the envelope. Here's the response from Khrushchev. This is how they were doing it. Now, that rolled back the tensions dramatically in a number of different scenarios. But the thing was, Kennedy had learned this technique from his father, in fact, who was very used to going around traditional channels when he was in government and when he was in business to have the edge. He knew how to go around and create this human intelligence system. This is one of the other reasons why they had such a problem with Kennedy. It was very hard for them to get a handle on, very hard to control because of his family's wealth, which at that point, you know, I mean, it's millions back then, but it's billions now if you extrapolate out the money now. They were in the very top class financially, so there's no way to manipulate them in that front. So what do you do with this guy? And by the way, he knows the world stage just as well as you do if you're Alan Dulles. And if you're Alan Dulles, you're sitting there thinking, oh, I've put together this whole world program for the past 30 years, and here comes this millionaire playboy who's going to undo everything. And in fact, after Kennedy is assassinated, there are all these quotes from Alan Dulles. His aide came out after Dulles died and said, yeah, you know, we had these meetings, like when he was working on the Warren Commission and stuff, and he'd have a few drinks and he'd be talking to me, and his resentment for Kennedy was so off the charts. And he would say, that son of a bitch, he thought he was a god, you know. So there's a lot of kind of male power jealousy going on in relation to Kennedy. And God knows, you know, they were sort of tuning in and wiring him, so they knew all about his personal life.
The actor's name you were looking for earlier was William Campbell.
Oh, yes.
He played Trelane.
Trelane in Charlie. No, it's not Charlie X. It's The Squire of Gothos.
Yes.
All right. JFK proposes lunar joint mission with the Soviets. Now I'm thinking about our good friend, Charlie X. In a speech to the United Nations General Assembly on September 20th, 1963, President John F. Kennedy proposed to mount a joint manned lunar program with the Soviet Union. Kennedy's proposal, that with a rival superpower, and that they cooperate on a mission to mount an expedition to the moon caught both the Soviet leadership and many Americans off guard. In fact, I think it caught the deep state off guard, but I don't think it caught the Soviets off guard, because I think he was communicating with them to try to ease tensions back that had been created by this very deep state. Now, toward the end of the address, and remember, they had stood toe-to-toe looking across the nuclear abyss only 11 months earlier over the Cuban Missile Crisis. So Kennedy here is trying to bring the world together and say, well, you know, if we do the moon mission together, maybe we can reduce all these Cold War tensions and not have a nuclear war. How about that? This is crucial. Now, why the president asked, should the United States and the Soviet Union conduct parallel efforts that would include duplication of research, construction, and expenditure? He suggested a joint series of space missions, which, if enacted, will require, quote, a new approach to the Cold War. Yeah, you won't have a space race for arms, and you're going to reduce tensions on Earth. But you're going to be handing them some of this secret technology that you're working with and the UFO file. Now, they have their own, but maybe ours is better. So the people in that structure, in NASA, the paperclip aspect and that element shows perfect resistance against this idea. And through their tentacles, through the military-industrial complex, through the intelligence agencies, particularly the CIA, they move to make sure that this never happens. Somewhere in between these two events, him speaking in September at the UN and proposing this, and his assassination on November 22nd, 1963, President Kennedy will ask the CIA to share in a memo that's been declassified for over 10 years. He'll ask them to share the high-risk UFO threat cases with the Soviet Union. So anything where we tracked something that was going so fast or was around a nuclear facility or whatever. And the purpose and the idea being so that we wouldn't end up in a shooting war on the nuclear basis because of these UFOs going everywhere. Now, there's not a suggestion in the memo that what we're talking about is an alien craft, but it's not explained what it is. It's just these UFO cases. Okay. So you can make of that what you will. If you feel that there's an off-world presence in relation to this, that's the thing that he's referring to. If you feel that he's talking about an extraterritorial group that has access to this technology and they're trying to get together on it to neutralize it, you can look at it that way as well. The X technology, the thing we brought forward is X technology, all that resides in the UFO file in terms of how they track it, because it has exactly the same type of implications. That's the basic conclusions around it. So when you think of something like Tesla technology, that's in the UFO file. Because, you know, or the type of technology left over from the mystery schools that was carefully guarded, things that don't show up in any science book. Things of this nature all reside in that UFO file, whether they relate to off-world technology or not. The thing is that with everything that we see going on in the modern world, so much of this, again and again, goes back to space. And we're going to get into why and how that relates directly to 2024 RFK Jr., Trump, and the Biden regime. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is a special report going deep here with you on the question of space, the UFO file, and the continuity of government program. We're going to be taking your questions here in about a half hour. And let's say we'll go for about another hour tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll make this report just so. I want to remind you also, if you're tuning in now, that we have a very special documentary premiere presentation coming up for you on November 17th. That's a Friday. And we'll do it at 8 p.m. We'll live stream it here and right off the darkjournalist.com website. But this is a very special thing we've been working on. This is all about the blue aspect of the secret space program and the JFK assassination. So JFK 60, secret space program, blue. that's what you're going to be looking at. And we look forward to having you all join us for that. By the way, blue, here's a little blue. Blue Origin. I guess Jeff looks a little blue there. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bezos, tired of counting all those billions, damn it. It's very interesting because he's going to be, of course, in this. But I found a rather fascinating quote of his relating to what we're looking at in the world situation and how we really need to be planning to make of ourselves a star-faring civilization. Well, that's Jeff Bezos talking. So space is playing its central role right in the middle of all this, as we see Elon Musk trying to consolidate all these users on social media while he's building all of these Starlink satellites. There's a very strange interface here that we're going to be talking about, and it's not all just technology, because a certain aspect and element of sorcery plays into it, as well as esoteric symbolism. So these are the factors which, if you're going to get a clear picture of the whole thing, you know, we have to go beyond what would be sort of a straight deep state analysis. Although that's going to get you pretty far, but you're going to need this something else, kind of a psychic awareness of the whole thing, that there's a mystical element involved, that this thing and the space aspect goes so far back, and that's intrinsic to how we can look at this. But in the meantime, let's just take a look here going forward and checking out just how does the space aspect play into the 2024 election. First, let's look at some of these numbers to back up what we've been saying about Trump being on a winning streak. Well, Newsweek actually says Trump's on a winning streak. This is amazing, too, because they were declaring him finished right as he launched his campaign for the presidency in 2022. So at the end of the last year, they were like, oh, Trump is lackluster and Ron DeSantis is great. As soon as it got on the actual playing field, DeSantis collapsed dramatically. DeSantis can't even get 10% of the vote, you know, unless it's in Florida. So he has not translated well. And it's interesting because very early on, the UFO file money through Robert Bigelow went directly into his campaign to the tunes of millions of dollars. Absolutely. Now I wonder where Bigelow's going to put his stash. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, because all of that UFO money, where does it go? I mean, where do those deep state operators, who do they kind of go to? And then all of those who are interfaced with the deep state, you know, but like a guy like Bigelow, but aren't directly a part of it, are concerned with these aerospace concerns, then where do they put their money if now good old DeSantis isn't in and they can't do it with Trump? Trump created Space Force. That was a whole effort to move the UFO file back to the presidency. They don't want that. So it's going to be very interesting to see where the money goes. Donald Trump's on a winning streak. This, in this article, there's a series of numbers that show that Trump is winning by 10 points in Pennsylvania. All the states that supposedly went to Biden in 2020, Trump is up on substantially. You know, an 8-point lead in Georgia, where there's this massive court case where they're trying to flip witnesses by intimidating his lawyers so they don't have any of this, you know, kind of client privilege protection anymore. This is absolutely un-American in terms of the system that we have of justice, regardless of, you know, whether you're a Trump fan or who, you know, what political figure it could be. Even if we were talking about, you know, Bernie Sanders, it wouldn't make any difference. Like, this would be just the wrong way to handle it. I love this shot, by the way. This is basically Biden aware that the Trump faction is taking off again. I love that. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Great. And for me, the Trump, the momentum is on the Trump side. Number one, because of his absolutely firm border policy. So when you have an invasion on the level that we have going, and both Democrats and Republicans say this, their cities are being invaded because you have an open door policy at the border. That doesn't mean that you're not in favor of immigration. It's ridiculous. You just can't let everyone with no screening come into the country, right? I mean, it defeats the whole purpose. What happened to all those things about, well, everybody has to be vaccinated? Well, do you think any of the people rushing across the border are? So that whole thing, along with the COVID op, falls apart when you just look at that one area and aspect. But the strain that's putting on the different American cities is designed to collapse the economy. And then they put this extra burden of these war drums. So saying, look, we need $100 billion for Ukraine, but we're going to destroy your cities by letting 100,000 people come across the border into your town, and we'll ship them up to New York, you know, DC, San Francisco, whatever it is, any city that will take them, and they will therefore be collapsed. So there's a process going on here that needs to be looked at. This is the area, however, even though we're looking at, you know, it's close to a year until that election is held. So during that time, a lot of things can happen. But if that election were held right now, Trump would win in a landslide. The reason for that is because of the absolute abandoning of reason and any sense of law and order in the country from the Biden regime. And they're just playing this, going after their political enemies like Trump, trying to put them behind bars, not providing Secret Service for Bobby. I mean, all kinds of insane things that you'd never see under any other circumstances. It lets you know we're in a very, very, you know, uncharted territory. And so more of this is coming out. Trump leads Biden in latest battleground state polls. It's unanimous. Everywhere you go, Trump is leading in all of those states that, you know, with the COVID mail-in balloting and all that stuff, he wasn't, you know, supposedly, oh, you know, Biden edged him out in Georgia or Pennsylvania in 2020. I don't know. Biden was campaigning by standing on a milk crate at drive-in theaters because nobody would show up. I don't see that that was any kind of winning campaign, and nothing has convinced me otherwise. Let's get a little bit of this, though, just so we understand the states that are involved. The new Bloomberg Morning Consult polls, and these aren't polls that are designed to favor Trump at all. They're usually very much against him, are squarely centered on the seven states that were closest in 2020, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin. The results show Trump leading among registered voters in Arizona, 47% to 43%, Georgia, 48% to 43%, North Carolina, 47% to 43%, Pennsylvania, 46% to 45% in their poll, but in the latest poll for Pennsylvania, up by 10 points of likely voters, Wisconsin, 46% to 44%, and supposedly they're tied in Michigan. I doubt that, because those Michigan workers want to get out of the oppression of the Biden regime. Now, in other states, you know, like Tennessee, he's up by 33 points. The Pennsylvania shocker, here it is. Trump, 45%, Biden, 36%. That's very significant, because what it used to be was that whoever won Ohio would win the White House. If you won Ohio and Florida, that was it. So Trump won Ohio and Florida last time, but didn't win the White House because a couple of weird things happened. Pennsylvania supposedly got switched back. It's hard to imagine. And Arizona went out of the Republican column. Now, all of those things have looked like they've corrected themselves in terms of real polls. So therefore, Trump's leads in Florida and Ohio, and now up by 10 points in Pennsylvania, that's very hard to get rid of. The only thing you can do with this guy, basically, at this point, is put him in jail. And that seems to be the strategy. A lot of legal experts are weighing in and saying this level of legal harassment, it might not stand up, meaning a lot of these cases may go into the Supreme Court under the umbrella of, you know, campaign interference, election interference. And that's exactly what they are. But in the meantime, the good news on the ground for the Trump campaign, literally, is that they're up in almost every state that counts on the board that aren't, you know, traditionally Democrat. Interestingly enough, I have a thing in here about Bobby. Bobby's numbers are interesting. There's a lot of dynamics with Bobby's campaign I want to get into, including some advice I want to give that campaign, because they've done so many things right. And I think that they need to stress again the corruption of the Biden regime versus Bobby's transparency. This is his strong suit, which is the transparency and the competence. That will make the difference for Bobby here. Unfortunately, in relation to Bobby, what they have him saying is very, you know, not pointed enough to President Biden and the Biden regime. So he'll mention this policy is not correct, or it's not common sense. The border policy is not common sense, instead of saying President Biden is acting like a maniac with the security of the United States. That's what he needs to be saying. So, you know, we need more of these kind of straight up forceful statements. And I think that, you know, Bobby's done a remarkable thing by being as transparent as he has been and pulling no punches and having the media attack him savagely, but still holding somewhere around 18% in the polls now that he's an independent. I think it's very possible that those numbers could go up dramatically between now and Election Day. The thing is, does the presence of Bobby and with Trump's momentum, does that mean not even so much that it gives the election to Biden because they're splitting the alternative vote, but more that nobody gets to 270 and therefore it goes into this weird, unpredictable thing where it goes into the House of Representatives? You know, I think it's always ideal if you can get to 270. So I think there's an express openness on the side of the Trump campaign to this idea of Bobby joining it. So I think it should be a serious consideration. Now that the Democrat thing is done, now that that is, you know, in the rearview mirror and they tried to, you know, do backroom deals to basically screw him over. What Bobby needs to do is take a look at that and say, okay, you know, I'm an independent. If I'm getting traction, what's the outcome here? Do I have enough to get to 270 in terms of electoral votes? And if I don't, do I need to join forces with Trump to remove the Biden regime? The goal, the key for all of this is to remove the Biden regime. There can be nothing else for America, because that regime is taking it down into world war, into nuclear provocation. Our first nuclear test since 1996, the Russians saying we're not going to participate in nuclear treaties anymore. President Kennedy's signature achievement on the nuclear issue, the nuclear test ban treaty in 1963, it abrogates all that. They want to get out of that. You know, this is serious disaster on a foreign policy level, on an economics level, you know, on a civics level, on a surveillance level, you know, weaponizing the Justice Department. This has been literally the worst administration, I think, that anyone can remember. And, you know, I think even the Bush administration had the cover of this, this whole thing that they created with the terrorists and all the rest of it. This administration is reaching into the bag of tricks of George W. Bush and saying, oh, we can use this whole terrorist thing to keep Biden in power and so on. In fact, it's coming out now that a number of things that they've done, including having high-level Iranian assets inside that State Department, this may be a huge scandal that breaks. And the story is getting out, and you are seeing it a lot more, and they are starting to name the figures. Some of them are people whose security clearance were grabbed by the FBI director. The situation was getting bad. So the people who were handling the Iran intelligence for the IC, that whole thing is going to come back around again and be a scandal for the Biden administration. It's incredible mismanagement and corruption there at the top. So, this is why Bobby really needs to rethink the kind of soft touch when it comes to Biden. The gloves need to come off, and he needs to rip that administration to shreds, because they are destroying the country, especially with the border policy and the economic policy that's impoverishing everyone through inflation and through these other means. So it's time to take on the old man, and if he's not up for a real back and forth, if they protect him in a Rose Garden strategy or whatever, maybe they'll figure they'll have to replace him, and then we'll have it on with Newsom or whoever. But whatever it is, they need to get on it. And that's my straight advice to the Bobby campaign. And Bobby, I know that somewhere you're out there listening. take the gloves off on Biden.
Yeah. The other thing, you know, I hadn't thought about it until just now, but the thing that I'm looking for is someone, I mean, Trump does this to an extent, but to talk about this country with love,
yeah,
you know, about our potential, what we were designed to be, what we could still be. But, you know,
no, but don't you know that, don't you know that Biden says that we can be the arsenal for democracy?
Oh. But seriously,
that's his wonderful vision.
I would like someone to get really emotional about the ideals of America, of what we stand for, because and that's, it would really touch everyone's heart.
Yeah. Well, Bobby has that. He definitely has that in him. And I think that, you know, through his family and through his great, you know, because Bobby is extraordinary in his own right for the things that he's done, taking on Monsanto, and really these underdog causes that he's fought for. He's really proven his mettle as a brave person in public and an excellent litigator. So, but he has this incredible grasp of how the Revolutionary War was won and what those principles are about, and a deep love for the Constitution. So, you know, this is somebody who really can bring back that spirit to America. There's no question. When we look out to 2024, we've got this possibility of a dream ticket there, but Kennedy, President Kennedy, is a looming figure in all this, because we're dealing, when we get to 2024, with this question of space. And I've said it before that 2024 is going to be so dynamic, but the setup for everything that goes down in 2024 has been laid out here so far in 23. And through the last couple of months of 23, we're seeing that real setup. And I predicted that this is how they were going to have to do it, because they needed to have the train tracks in place in order to execute the program for 2024. The train tracks are this World War III style scenario where you have all your enemies getting together, you know, Kim Jong-un and Xi Jinping and Putin all getting together and partying. And they all have joint interests all of a sudden, because we've made it that way. So, you know, by not having really clear policies in relation to peace with regards to Ukraine, we've put ourselves in a very difficult position, because the neocons that have taken control of the Democratic Party through the Biden regime, through the media and these other places, they've been pushing us into scenarios which were not called for on the world stage by any stretch of the imagination. And in relation to Russia, they've done this specifically because, you know, the Russian response and everything dramatically overplayed, and, you know, people who would be living under Putin, you know, they wouldn't say he's any hero at all. But I'm talking about the interests of the United States here. We don't have any interest in having a war with a nuclear armed Russia, especially since they're not directly, they weren't involved in directly invading us or one of our allies. Now, what happened in relation to Ukraine has that history, and, you know, we've had our own intel people in there manipulating the situation in Ukraine. There is a way to step back from all that, and it's a peace process. And they had that peace process on the table a year ago. And even the leaders in Ukraine were prepared to take it. And our intelligence community came in, and the neocons on the American side said, don't take it. So, you know, they don't want peace, and they changed the goalposts. Originally, they said, oh, we're going to help to support our ally in her time of need. And now they changed it, and they changed the wording of the policy towards Russia, which is to damage the Putin regime. This is not in the best interest of the United States at all, and it doesn't need to be our policy. Even the most hardline people, you know, that we've had in previous administrations always had some idea of a peace process. These people, it's just endless war. And now Biden, through the Israeli situation and the stress of that, is going back to Congress and trying to get $100 billion from them with his, you know, 30% approval rating. I mean, you know, this is paying off their friends. And a lot of those friends include the defense contractors themselves. And let's not forget that Lockheed Martin is the number one defense contractor in the United States, and they're the ones who are the majority for interactions in space, dealing with satellites and everything else. We have that interface going on constantly. And the point, I guess, that we're reaching with this is through the electoral process, we need to remove the leaders that have this policy. That's all, you know, it's the only way that you can do it. You need a new leader on the presidential side to stop all of the hostilities going on in relation to Ukraine and institute a peace policy, showing them that we're interested in that. That would change the entire setup. You even have very old Cold Warriors who set up the whole situation, like Kissinger, saying, oh, you know, this is going too far, like they're going to get into a nuclear skirmish. They're aware of just how insane the situation has become. And, you know, they were the opportunists that set us up for this. But now the group that's in charge is even crazier than them. Couple of quick things here. There's some really wild stuff in this thing. I'm going to finish this Biden section, then we'll get into the rest of the election, then we'll take your questions. How are we doing out
Sounds
there?
Good.
Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is election 2024. Beat the deep state. That is the slogan for Kennedy and Trump. I don't care which side that you're on. Beat the deep state is it. Hashtag beat the deep state. UFO files, COG, World War III, question mark. Well, they're trying to change that question mark into an exclamation point. But let's see what we can do about that. Okay, just to get some things on the record, because I mentioned them, I want to back them up here. U.S. conducts nuclear test in Nevada hours after Russian move to revoke global test ban. That global test ban is, the roots of it are President Kennedy's test ban treaty from 1963 that he signed with Khrushchev. And this is the beginning of sensible policy in relation, so we don't blow each other up, as it were. Now, I want to say this also, which is I'm fully convinced that we've been dealing, at least since the 1980s, with a kind of technology that surpasses nuclear technology. So we're not seeing everything on the surface that they have. But anyway, for purposes of just the kind of insanity of the nuclear policy that they're following, we'll just kind of leave the advanced technology part to the next segment. U.S. conducts nuclear test in Nevada hours after Russian move to revoke the ban. So that's the story that came out. It's been verified now. We've done our first nuclear test since 1996. And this one is in Nevada. And it's interesting because, of course, you know, we very famously in Nevada used to do all of our nuclear testing outside of Area 51 and everywhere else, usually underground. Okay, a couple of bad signs inside this administration. Janet Yellen is the Treasury Secretary, the former Fed chief. Yellen says, the U.S. can afford to support two wars. America stands behind Israel, period. Well, it has nothing to do with standing behind Israel. No, we cannot afford two wars. And by the way, you know, the money, the amount of money they're talking about sending to Israel is much less than what we're talking about going. I have the breakdown of those figures. Most of it's for Ukraine. So don't, let's not confuse the two, and they should vote on them totally separately as well. The Biden administration asked Congress for $105 billion emergency funding. Remember, emergency powers, emergency funding. This is how things need to be run because they don't have the actual popularity in governance to govern. Popularity is not there. So in fact, what we have going on is, hey, emergency powers, that's how you do it. And the ultimate emergency powers is the continuity of government program. That one, though, they need something very, very specific to set it off. And as I pointed out earlier in the year, we had the trial run of what they can do to set off the continuity of government program, and that is the UFO threat. That's where all those weird things about balloons and New York Times headlines that said, hey, we shot down a UFO over Canada, and the COG commander, NORTHCOM commander, doing all the press conferences for Biden. That was a dry run, and whether or not they're convinced they need to use that for 2024 or lose it as an option becomes the question. But you're going to see the UFO file piece involved in this 2024 election. There's no question about it. The Biden administration asked Congress for $105 billion emergency funding package that includes $10 billion for Israel. Do you see how that works? Where's the other 90? So it's not like, hey, we need to help Israel, emergency funding, quick. No, it's package in this pork of this failed approach in Ukraine, which has killed over 500,000 Ukrainian soldiers. It is an absolute disaster. Get out of there now. Create a peace deal and, completely stop swelling the pocketbooks of the defense contractors on this and making America look ridiculous and getting us into a nuclear situation, of course.
Yeah. Debbie McAdoo says, and nothing for Maui.
That's an excellent point. What did they give them, $700?
A one-time $700 check.
Oh, yeah. Well, $700, you know, you pay your gas bill with that, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's, what can you do with
$700? They don't have homes. They don't have gas bills. What's
exactly.
The point?
In that package was $61.4 billion in assistance to Ukraine. Yeah, you know, Stinger missiles and all that kind of stuff. All right. And this story, you know, they're sending this bill over to Congress, and the Democrats are saying those Republicans need to give us this approval to do it. And the thing is, there's enough rhinos in that Congress to actually pass this, which is the real disaster that's going on here. So it needs to be made extremely clear. This is weird, too, that all the Democrats vote for the war stuff and the Republicans are like the doves now. This is like, we're no longer at war with Oceania, but it's East Asia. The largest part of the spending package is dedicated to Ukraine, with more than $61 billion for this purpose. And then the Israel part is supposedly only for the Iron Dome. The thing is, we're giving so much money to Israel that this, you know, rolling it in here is just like the cherry on top. And all it is just a cover story. It's a Trojan horse for all the Ukraine money for that disaster, which is getting us into a nuclear skirmish. And that could become a full-blown nuclear geothermal disaster. The world is watching, and the American people rightly expect their leaders to come together and deliver on these priorities, Biden's budget director said. I urge Congress to address these as part of a comprehensive agreement in the weeks ahead. So no Republican or Democrat with any sense should support that insanity. But again, the exact numbers, it's interesting. They included a few billion dollars for border agents. They're like, well, the Republicans can use this to pass it. Look, you've let people in. You could have easily called in, the military to block the border. You could have completed the wall that was in place. You could have just kept the Homeland Security people. You know, you have 250,000 Homeland Security employees. How about putting them to some good use? You didn't do any of that. You've already let everyone in, and they continue to pour in. You know, so this Biden administration is a complete disaster on the border, and it's going to cost them the election under normal circumstances. Under emergency powers or COG control, that's different. All right. I did mention the return, the strange return of George W. Bush. And Bush came out and said, you got to watch out for them terrorists because you never know. And, so floating him out there after he'd been hiding out from, war crimes and everything else, is a signal that they, along with Biden's speech, that those two parties in the background are moving hand in glove on this. There were a couple of interesting things that came up. I wanted to cover these for the legal side, but what I want to do is, this Amazon story and a quick COG story, then we'll get to your questions. Mm-hmm. How's that? Everyone, we're doing great tonight. Fantastic to have so many of you here with us. We're discussing the 2024 election, the disaster of the Biden regime, and how the RFK Jr. campaign and the Trump campaign are moving both in the direction of destroying that regime. And the real goal is that they don't blast at each other while that process happens, and they haven't really, but as the campaign gets along, I think it should be a big priority. In my opinion, they're going to have to join forces now that Bobby has gone independent. And we've talked before about a unity ticket on this program. And even previously, we talked about how one came up, and this was in the 2020 election. No one knew what we were talking about. Interestingly enough, it was confirmed by Mitt Romney in his biography that the unity ticket that was being put together, that Oprah was a part of it. It was Oprah and Mitt Romney. And that's very interesting to me, because what I think finally happened was the scenario we outlined, which was that they were going to run Romney and Kerry because Biden was so weak and they were desperate to get rid of Trump. And Obama stepped in finally and said, you know, I'm finally going to back Joe. He waited. And he didn't. Joe was not his first choice by any stretch of the imagination. There's a famous quote from Obama that said, "Don't underestimate Joe's ability to F things up." And boy, was he right. Okay, score one for shady Obama. All right, here's an interesting side point in relation to space and Bezos. I mentioned this. Amazon already has 750,000 robots in quest to eliminate humans altogether. So they're on the move, eliminating those jobs and automating the situation. Whenever we hear about something, they're always years and years ahead of it, which means they already have the technology and the ability to outsource probably 90% of the jobs that are available. And this is from Technocracy, and it's an interesting little story. 750,000 robots working collaboratively with our employees is pretty sobering, but Amazon is just getting started when it says it is freeing employees up to better deliver to our customers. Yeah, by like losing their jobs. Hey, I'm going to free all your time by making sure you don't work. It means getting rid of them altogether. Like Mark Andreessen and Jeff Bezos is a techno-optimist and utterly unplugged from reality. Andreessen wrote, quote, "We believe that there is no material problem, whether created by nature or by our technology, that cannot be solved with more technology. When taken to the extreme, it's no wonder that Bezos agrees with Andreessen." Here's Bezos' quote. Are you ready? "We believe this is why our descendants will live in the stars." Remember the themes and the things that are being posited here. But here is Bezos, Blue Origin man, who also carries a great deal of the X-steganography, when he's promoting the, you know, the whole Blue Origin space program that he has. This to me is very interesting because it signals that they're saying you're not going to use the kind of benchmarks of Earth resources, Earth finances, that we basically, our descendants are going to be living in the stars. So forget about, you know, world resources and all this other stuff. Because they're in that mentality, and by the way, there's all kinds of problems with how they're designing this, but because they're in that mentality, therefore they feel they can blow past all of the things, you know, like constitutions or human rights or whatever it happens to be. I always remember that story about the drivers for Amazon and how they were forced to take bathroom breaks in the trucks that they were driving. How about that? Well, there's a boss for you, huh? Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is election 2024. Beat the deep state. UFO file, COG, world war. A little bit, more on the stories that are floating about here. And as I've mentioned, we've been telling you that we've been working on something special, and we're going to be finishing that over the course of the next couple of weeks. And this is going to premiere on Friday, November 17th at 8 p.m. And this is all about the 60th anniversary of the JFK assassination, the roots of the X-Protect space UFO piece involved with that, and some remarkable things we've come across in relation to this SSP blue program, as it were. And we're going to be sharing that with everyone, and we'll actually broadcast it right off of the darkjournalist.com website. if you're on that newsletter, you're going to hear all about it, but mark the date. And of course we have something special prepared for that whole week. Now, Putin recently went to China and they were looking more and more cozy in relation to what they've been doing. They've been getting closer. And while we've been, you know, kind of flipping out the Ukraine situation and moving Russia further and further into that, those guys are hooking up. North Korea is hooking up through Russia. Iran is hooking in with those people. This is a terrible looking scenario on a global stage for a lot of reasons. You're dealing with resources there, of course, oil, Russia and Iran. It's very easy to shut off our oil. That's not good. And we have a lot of influence. There's no question about it. But, you know, the neocon war hawks' desire for the Ukraine tension and to gain against Russia and all the rest, this is a disastrous policy we've been living under. But anyway, here are the two naval officers from Russia who are carrying Putin's nuclear briefcase for him. So they've got the nuclear briefcase ready just in case good old Putin needs it on his trip to China. Not a good look by any stretch of the imagination. Another thing that caught my eye, since we're really deep on the JFK tip tonight, is there's a new thriller that's about to come out starring Al Pacino. They're going to make the Mob Did It kind of version of the JFK thing, you know, turn JFK into the Godfather. And the new thriller about John F. Kennedy's assassination is in the works. The news comes amidst reports that a Netflix miniseries about JFK's life, similar to The Crown, is in development. According to Deadline, Assassination will retell the fateful murder of John F. Kennedy from the mob's point of view, reimagining his death as a hit ordered by Chicago mob kingpin Sam Giancana as payback for JFK's attempt to undermine the mob after he got them elected. It's very interesting because this is that, you know, CIA trope that we've seen rolled out every once in a while, and it is the backup plan. It has been for six decades. If the story ever completely slips, because no one believes it anyway, who looked into the situation, even the common person on the street, when they ask them, over 60% of them don't believe in the official version. So the backup has always been, oh, the mob did it, but we didn't want to tell you that because, you know, oh, it would upset the world. But this gets the CIA off the hook in relation to this, and it moves that whole focus off of the CIA and the records that they're holding, which apparently were booby-trapped very early on in that process by Attorney General Bobby Kennedy to reveal something. Because in the now famous conversation, and I like to say we had a hand in making this conversation famous, of Judge Napolitano with Trump. And Napolitano is interesting here because, you know, he's a circuit judge. He's somebody who's really, you know, he's been on Fox. He's a big libertarian. For years, he's been a major legal figure. And Trump was close to him at this point. They fell out after the Trump presidency. But at the end of that presidency, Napolitano went to him and said, you know, you said you were going to release the JFK records, at least, you know, make sure you do that with all your other accomplishments. This will really look like something. And the American people, you know, that you were looking out for them. And he said, I can't. And Napolitano said, what's the problem? What do you mean you can't? Like, you know, don't treat the public like children, do it. And he said, no, you don't understand, Andrew, if you saw what was in those files, you couldn't release them either. So whatever, you know, there's been this back and forth for years that, hey, there can't be anything in the files. After all, they, you know, if there was something in the files, then they could, you know, they just got rid of them a long time ago. Apparently there's some mechanism. And I remember the story of Bobby Kennedy having the CIA director come directly to his farm in Virginia immediately after the assassination. There's something in that records story that is left, and that if they decided to alter it or whatever, it sets off all these other alarm bells. There's some safety in those records some major secret to the point where when Trump saw it, he realized he couldn't release it. Now he's saying, when I get in there, I'll release them all. But it's true he had the chance and he didn't. He did release some very important records on the JFK side, but he got talked out by Mike Pompeo. And Pompeo famously, you know, in an interview with John Stossel, he gets kind of cornered about why he held up the JFK records release. And he's like, oh, well, you know, it still would affect too many agents in the field. You know, 60 years ago, none of those guys were alive. And so that was just a bogus story. And then he yells out in the middle of it, I also know about the UFO file. You know, for some reason, this crisscrossed in his brain about the UFO file and the JFK assassination. That was this very kind of Freudian slip. And he was like, we really don't need those things out to the public. We have bigger fish to fry or whatever. So Pompeo was always that person on the inside as the CIA director and Secretary of State, just a disaster for Trump. And I think he got him into some situations. But ultimately, Trump was the responsible officer of the government. And Trump did, he got some of the records out to his credit. And I think those were very important. But anyway, here we have Hollywood now. They're rolling out this thing. And they've got a new thing that Marky Mark Wahlberg picked up from this kind of gadfly lawyer who wrote a book about JFK. And it was all about Bobby killing Marilyn. That's right. It was Bobby Kennedy, not the CIA, that did that. You know, so this is, as I said, they know no limits when it comes to this. It's like, go and do the crime and then, you know, kill the people that are involved and then blame the people that you killed for the crimes that you commit. This is very intelligence. You know, this is kind of the code they live by. There are no rules. But that's the kind of thing that you're seeing out there in relation to this. So when it comes to that kind of media, you know, like the media, promoting this mafia thing, you know, 60th anniversary, you know, and we had this whole thing about the Secret Service agent and all that. Good. You know, if you want to blow away the magic bullet theory, then they should do that. You know, we did a number of episodes around the Secret Service guy coming out. The deeper story to be told in relation to the JFK assassination, it's quite fitting that we come up to the 60th anniversary on the eve of probably the most important election of the entire country since 1960. And I can't think of anything vaguely more important election-wise than this election. This is the one where it's going to come down to it. One other thing I want to mention in relation to Kennedy is that a lot of the analysis that's come out over the years also points to this idea that, you know, the media and the different aspects and elements of the society had to be in place for the Kennedy assassination to happen, because that's how the cover-up worked. People inside the government, people in the media, that structure had to be intact and go with the new regime. So what's important about that is the idea that, for example, the mafia did it. Well, the media wouldn't have to cover up a story like that. They'd love that, right? So that doesn't make any sense. You know, oh, we covered it up because the mafia did it. No, you know. The other thing is the mafia would never be able to pull off that type of an ambush because, you know, federal authorities, the Secret Service, and everybody else would thwart it. And you'd never be able to pull off, you know, altering the autopsy and all these different types of things. So absolute non-starter when it comes to that particular piece. And I found this image of the limo that JFK was assassinated in. And this is very interesting because we have a section in the new documentary on what happened to the limo and the various bullet holes that were in the screen of that and how they had it rebuilt in secret. And this was one of LBJ's thing, which was like, destroy the evidence. You know, it's a very important piece of history. And we've had a number of different impressive researchers over the years. Many of them have lived and died tackling that story. of the president's assassination. But the key aspect has come up in a couple of crucial places. One was with Jim Garrison, and it's included in a book. I've read the quote once before on the program. It is a memoir of Warren Hinkle, who ran what was basically a Rolling Stone type magazine in the 60s called Ramparts Magazine. And he talks all about Garrison confiding in him. But at a certain point, Garrison is looking for him. And Hinkle, and Garrison was the DA in New Orleans. Of course, they made the movie about who prosecuted the only investigation to the murder of President Kennedy and came to some very interesting conclusions and ran up against this structure, which nobody really understood. How was the aerospace paperclip Nazi aspect involved in the assassination of President Kennedy? This was tough for them in the 60s. You know, how does the CIA coordinate with that? You know, and it's taken a number of years here to unravel this. But one of the interesting things, which is crucial, I have this quote here, actually. And the book is If You Have a Lemon, Make Lemonade, which is his biography, which is very entertaining. But the Garrison sections are particularly interesting, in my opinion. So this is his last communication with Garrison. And it's in the 60s, and it's during the trial of Clay Shaw. And what he does is he wants to put some records and wants to put some things on the record with Hinkle in case anything happens to himself, Garrison. So he says, on November 5th, 1968, I was interrupted in mid-explanation talking to an investor. And so he goes on here. He said, the caller was in no mood to inquire about the weather. This is urgent, Jim Garrison said. Can you take this in your mailroom? They'd never think to tap your mailroom extension. It's an interesting point that a lot of the records that are held up by the CIA on the JFK assassination are the Garrison investigation files. I excused myself to go to the mailroom for a moment on a matter of high priority and left the investor sputtering like a referee without a whistle, alone with the latest negative balance sheet. Garrison began talking when I picked up the mailroom extension. This guy has been ducking Garrison because ever since he's gotten involved with Garrison, basically like he's got the men in black following him. Garrison began talking. This is risky, but I have little choice. It is imperative that I get this information to you now. Important new evidence has surfaced. Those Texas oil men do not appear to be involved in President Kennedy's murder in the way we first thought. It was the military-industrial complex that put up the money for the assassination, but as far as we can tell, the conspiracy was limited to the aerospace wing. Now, this is crucial. The aerospace wing, this is the only person now, Garrison, who legally investigated, had a murder investigation of President Kennedy's assassination. His conclusion is that the defense contractors from Lockheed and Boeing got together and that they, at the behest of this aerospace intel group, worked together for the assassination. That was his conclusion. But the gold mine in the middle of all that is the aerospace wing. Because this, again, gets us into the confession by Douglas Caddy that we've pointed out and that, you know, he told me here on this program about E. Howard Hunt telling him in private before he went to prison that Kennedy was killed, assassinated over the UFO file. This becomes crucial when solving the case, one, but when looking out over that vista of the 2024 election, you are again heading into a field dominated by a hidden piece, a hidden aspect. And that hidden aspect relates directly to aerospace. Again, that's the force that's operational here. And that is directly tied into this advanced technology. We'll call it the UFO file. You can say, you know, you can take your choice if that's an off-world technology, if it's something developed terrestrially, whatever it happens to be. Certainly, a number of people would say it's coming, you know, something here from somewhere else. But whatever that technology represents, it's in the heart of these deep events and coming directly into the 2024 election. That's what we're looking at. So when we get statements from Bezos like, our descendants are going to live among the stars. And when you have SpaceX, you know, and Musk saying, oh, we have to go live on Mars. you know, you're dealing with a big secret here that's been developed privately since 1972. Remember, the space program was public. The last time we had any kind of manned space program, you know, the Challenger, right? That is basically the explosive end of Kennedy's dream of putting actual people in space. And we have this whole Artemis thing dressed up through NASA now, which I won't even get into, but basically they've been putting that off and putting that off and putting that off. And what we have instead is the rise of the private label space entrepreneur, built with an entire secret infrastructure out there in space, which apparently you and I have paid for, and they have laundered through this secret system of economy. So when we look at that, we can see that these become the crucial issues for us to tackle. And looking at it through the lens of JFK's 60th anniversary of the assassination, and that it's still not released, it's still not solved, and that the government is still hiding those factors, lets you know everything you need to know about the government in relation to the people in America today. And with that, Miss Olivia, we are going to get to your questions now.
Okay. This is such a great quote. Red Cap Goblin says, can we just have a dance off instead? I love it. Break dancing, maybe. Channeling the Heart, Barbara Joy says, do we know if the Nixon letter hidden in plain sight might still be important?
Well, the Nixon piece is crucial in any case, but we also, what's interesting is, you know, a lot of people know the Jackie Gleason story of Nixon showing Gleason what he said were alien bodies and Gleason really being affected by it. And that story comes from Gleason's ex-wife. She told it twice, so it wasn't like some, you know, gadfly person making it up. She substantiated it, for whatever that's worth. But they were in Florida at the time, and it has been widely rumored that in one of those Florida air bases, Homestead or MacDill, they are hiding alien bodies. It's very interesting, too, because what's odd and what people don't know is the fascination by Bob Hope, who was also a friend of Nixon's, around the UFO file. And, you know, you get into this thing of wondering how many people were in on this through Nixon. So Nixon, remember, during his Eisenhower days, he ran CIA Blue Book. That's the real Blue Book, not the phony thing looking for the planet Venus that we got. And so this becomes crucial when you look at Nixon's role. And in some of the conversations that I had about Nixon's time capsule, things of this nature, what was so interesting to me about that, and the fact that he had hidden something for posterity, as it were, is it made sense to me with a number of different, what I call stealth archives, like the LBJ X letter, which is supposed to be released this year. And, you know, the Eisenhower time capsule that is supposed to be opened in 2038. You know, what an interesting year to be opening it. So, you know, when we look at these things, there are a number of things that we know that really will open up things and give us a whole different level of knowledge and information and understanding about different events. For example, the JFK records. So I call them stealth archives because we know they're there. We know they make a huge difference, but we can't get our hands on them. And I've made an extensive list through these episodes of what those stealth archives are. And certainly the Nixon time capsule is one of them. Another one that's interesting is a study that was commissioned from 55 to 59 by the Rockefellers, studying all the different layers of society, and the things that they let out were about race relations, economic situation, all this stuff, consulting experts. But the guy that they got in to do the UFO part was Henry Kissinger. And that was put on the record by two different scientists who worked with Kissinger on it. And that piece was never released for the general public. So the Rockefellers have a whole UFO study stealth archive that was never released. So these people know And I think that some of them have thought to themselves, how would we float this out? Because, you know, part of the myth of the period that we're in, and that the phony kind of BS Corbell type, you know, circus, CIA circus, Elizondo, George Knapp, you know, all that stuff. And then some of these people, you know, like Knapp, they used to do good work in this field. They got sucked into this. But what's interesting is this idea that the CIA would ever come forward and just give something out to the public. First of all, that's not their role in society, ever. So you'd never have CIA people involved in bringing out, you know, any kind of transparency or disclosure about the UFO file. Why would they ever do that? So whenever you get these intel people, you know, they're usually very well trained in counterintelligence, and they're working as part of an intelligence op for some reason on behalf of the intelligence community. So it's got nothing to do with disclosure. And if anything, it's a gigantic manipulation. The idea is to create enough of a threat and to see if the public will take that threat, so that if you can use it, then to establish some level of emergency powers. If you can establish the threat, you can decide what to do with it. But that's one that they've been building for decades. So you can't underestimate it at all. As a matter of fact, you know, when you saw the COVID op playing out, what was it they were rolling out? They were rolling out this UFO threat piece. So we've covered it pretty extensively here. Anyone who watches this show has a great understanding of that connection between the UFO file and the continuity of government program. And I guess I could, you know, address COG even more tonight. But one of the things I will say about it is, one, it is the Department of Government that has the least oversight. So, you know, in terms of public oversight, the continuity of government program is just off the charts. So you've got the NSA secrecy, you have the NRO secrecy, you have the CIA secrecy. And certainly all those pieces are involved in continuity of government. But that COG program is so secret that you can apply those rules of secrecy and you don't get the congressional oversight that you get with other things. You know, oh, really? You know, you're over there in Laos blowing up bridges? Okay, you know, well, we're pulling your funding and pulling you out of there. That's one kind of oversight with intelligence people. But if you've built a massive underground infrastructure, which was initially set up to survive an emergency, nuclear was the original one, and which got changed to just, they removed nuclear and just put emergency. So that infrastructure runs throughout the United States and other countries. But when you look at that, how are you going to really run oversight on something like that, except among a few elite individuals and chains of families, the Cheneys, for example? You know, and Cheney was very involved in setting up the second level of the COG program, which was activated on 2001. So, you know, the COG program's real. This isn't, you know, some committee of 500 that we don't know anything about. COG, there's documents, there's a trail of what it is. And people like Professor Scott have put it on the record. And I'll tell you what is the creepiest thing about COG at this point is not its existence. It's that they're very casual about talking about it now. So before it used to be, you know, you couldn't mention it in congressional things. There were no articles, nothing. Now it's like Nancy Pelosi, before she leaves office, she says, well, I had my briefing with continuity of government, you know. That's disturbing. No question about it. Yes.
Okay. THP33, is Biden border policy bringing in mercenaries to terrorize, disrupt, get martial law tyranny? Jen Passavant says the government, quote, the terrorists are in our cities. We need more surveillance and control for our safety.
Yeah.
Does DJ see any possibility of no 2024 election?
Oh, I think that there's all kinds of scenarios where they would do that. You know, and it's tricky because when I look out over 2024, there's a lot of unanswered questions. The way it stacks up, the way it's unraveled for them, is that the Biden administration has gone down dramatically. Their only hope is to put Trump behind bars. And there was a group that thought this is what's going to be achieved, and they were rooting for Nikki Haley or DeSantis. And what happened was DeSantis had started out, you know, in Florida, he had done so many things to show independence from the COVID op and all these different things. And that's fine. But when he got into the position, you know, the people like the Karl Roves were suddenly came around and, you know, Jeb Bush and stuff like that. So his presidential campaign became a very different character of who he was as a governor. And that might have been, you know, planned all along. We don't know very much really about DeSantis, except that he's, you know, he's out of that kind of Ivy League system. Now, what I would say about what he tried to do and what they try to do with him was they were trying to remove Trump as a factor at all. So they wanted to take Trump down, but they didn't want him to be a political threat while they were doing it. So now he's a political threat because he has the best chance to be president. And so the only thing they can hope for is to somehow, through these 91 different indictments from four different cases, find something that will stick against this guy, because they can't win him against him in a fair contest after they've destroyed the economy, destroyed the border and all the rest of it. So this is the nature of the situation that we're in. And then Bobby's a wild card in there because he sees through the Biden administration, but he hasn't really unleashed on them as a political opponent the way that he could. And I think that this factor will bring his candidacy up dramatically if he were to do it. And I think with being an independent, he may have an easier hand to do that with. The important thing about, you know, Trump coming in on one side and Bobby coming in on the other and smashing the Biden regime in between is that, again, any kind of static between the two of them would, you know, is the thing really to avoid, I guess. If anything, they should work together dramatically to remove this regime. I mean, on a lot of central issues, they actually agree, like a strong border and otherwise. And, you know, I've pointed this out. I know for some political people, it may sound crazy. It's a big miss to not bring up the UFO file for both of them, because there's an issue there and there's a transparency there and there's a weakness in that establishment for them bringing it up. So I would make it a central piece of the entire election. Believe it or not, it's going to be anyway. So 2024 brings it on. Get there first. And especially with the incredible deep, deep roots in the issue through Trump and his uncle and Tesla and Vannevar Bush and the UFO file, Bobby with John F. Kennedy being assassinated over the UFO file. Even people who don't, you know, understand things on the level that I do about Kennedy and the UFO file, you know, or have come to the conclusions that I have, they still know that Kennedy is associated with that UFO file. So therefore, it's in kind of the DNA of that family. If you look at the Philip Corso story, it makes you wonder actually how far back the connection with the UFO file and the Kennedy family goes, because he said that he gave monthly updates to Bobby, and sometimes Bobby and Jack Kennedy, about the UFO file and the developments. And he also said that certain things that took place, like the development of the X-15, which was developed by Walter Dornberger, paperclip Nazi, who gets involved in the Kennedy story because, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald is staying at his protege, Michael Payne's house. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. This guy is very interesting because the X-15 still holds all kinds of records for a manned space plane. What's fascinating about the X-15 is that Corso put something dramatic on the record about it. He said the whole thing was designed to chase UFOs. So think about that. We have an entire infrastructure that's designed to respond to the capacity of these UFOs, or perceiving them as a threat or a surveillance interloper, or just to study, for study, period. There's a whole infrastructure dedicated to that. And that is a piece of it, directly in that X technology, X plane experimental, X plane line. And, you know, we've pointed out that the X-planes could do things none of the other technology that we had going on at the time. So it makes you wonder, and you know, we've put on the record what that X technology really is. Well, when you get it on a deeper level, you know, they might have been using just little pieces of it in those X-planes. But when you get into the deeper level of the technology that they possess, that's the piece that we need to understand. It is the X-technology residing inside the UFO file. That's what the problem is. And what I've come forward, and this is in the documentary, but you've heard me say it on this show many times, is that there's an effect that takes place inside of the X technology. So you've heard of things like torsion physics and all these other things, which Dr. Farrell famously went on the record and said, torsion physics would make the atomic bomb look like a firecracker. So think about that. Well, then it explains some of the classifications that the physicist Sarb Barker put on the record, saying, you know, the UFO file, that's held above the secrecy of the nuclear program. That's pretty high. That's probably as high as you get, period. So when you think about it that way, the Sapothium idea is that there's some effect. And if you track all the cases involving UFOs, a lot of weird things happen, of course. You know, dematerialization, right? How about that famous case where you have this incredibly cogent Japanese pilot, and he's looking at this large UFO underneath him for his commercial flight and freaking out, sending these messages and everything out. At a certain point, he realizes, oh, wait, I'm looking through this. I can see through it. Well, if you go into the Phoenix Lights cases, it's very interesting because you'll find a lot of people were like, well, this thing was blacking out the stars at first. But then when I looked up at it, I could see the stars through it. So what is that? That's half here, half not. I mean, you know, there's a lot of signatures, even in weird, very popular cases. If you go back to like the 80s books of Communion and things like that, implants, time missing. The missing time piece in the earliest cases, Betty and Barney Hill, it represents this something taking place which defies the normal physics that we are accustomed to. It upsets the fabric of reality. It's a reality distortion. And that's where you find things of, you know, those really good cases, and the people are like, oh yeah, I materialized through the wall and into their ship. Well, how do you do that? So, you know, this is the thing, the piece that I feel that's related to the UFO technology, not just, hey, we've made this stuff and it can fly really fast. You know, no, it's a whole realm of technology, which is totally separate. And that would make it, for me, the kind of secret, the way that it's protected. And if you look at some of those early cases, you know, sometimes with lethal means, yes.
Joseph is asking, what does DJ think of Governor Abbott's declaration of an invasion vis-a-vis continuity of government?
Well, that's really interesting. And here's what's weird, though, about the Texas governor. And his statement was very strong about being invaded. But it took him a long, long time to do that. So that whole process was happening, and the Biden administration wasn't doing anything about it. And then out of nowhere, you know, after waiting almost, what, a year or 2 years, whatever it was, then he finally says it and says, oh, I'm going to call in the National Guard to take care of this. It's very strange. And I think that you see signals of the continuity of government, and they're almost like test balloons, just like when we started the year off with the Canadian balloon and the, you know, the Chinese balloon going across America. I think they were really data mining the response of the American people around that. But I absolutely think that the Abbott declaration was related. And it's an excellent point, actually. Yeah.
Joseph is continuing. So what was the factor that made him declare it?
That's a good question. You know, it's interesting because I think politically, it would have made sense to do it initially. This is why it's strange. And they had already declared their independence and all this. So there's a lot of people who talk about Abbott and say, oh, you know, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I don't live in Texas, so I don't know how the governor's record really sizes up there. It seems like he's been kind of an inside-outside operator most of his life. What is interesting is the timing of him doing it was so late to the game and the declaration so strong that if this problem were going on all this time, why didn't he do something about it 2 years ago?
When is Abbott's term up?
That's a good question. I think it's not until 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we know that the path of the eclipses is forming an X right over Texas.
Yes, that's really true.
And I think it's April 2024 is the other side of the X.
Yeah, I think the eclipse, you know, let's think about native cultures for a moment. What would that eclipse mean to them, right? So that's, we might be a little disconnected about how these things relate now, but if you look at, you know, for example, the Sioux or some of these other tribes, how would they regard that? Or the early Mayans, what would they have thought about this eclipse and the shape and the location that kind of X marks the spot? They, I'm sure, had a mythological association which related directly to this. So the fact that that's happening in America in April, I think, is significant. And I think that 24 is a crucial year in relation to this. The other interesting piece for me when I look at this is when you take into account some of the things, and we've done a number of shows about Edgar Cayce recently. And, you know, we have a Cayce follow-up show on this Thomas Jefferson thing, which I think is so, so interesting. And, you know, it got a really good response when we just laid out kind of a two-hour version of this X-Series episode, which we're going to do for you in the next couple of weeks. But Cayce talking about the different Earth changes that were set to come to America, I think is important because he doesn't say, you know, America's going to go away or, you know, it's disaster for America. You know, there's no hyper-religious, you know, America under judgment or anything like that. But he does say that the makeup of the actual states is going to change, including the very real possibility of the destruction of California. And a lot of people jumped the gun on when they thought Cayce was referring to this happening. And so it led to a lot of books, which were kind of like, you know, the way that they churned those books out in that period reminds me a lot of the kind of clickbait headlines that you see now. So somebody would pick it up. But in fact, if you go deep on those Cayce readings, they're fascinating because there's a suggestion that as land is shifting and that certain places like Georgia is supposed to disappear. How about that? Mm. And that the Great Lakes will empty into the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, this is extraordinary changes. But the key thing that's left out very often and you never hear about in terms of scientific circles, unless you look deep, is all about land rising. And land rising is crucial for me, the whole piece in relation to the hot zone. And I've been putting together a number of hot zone episodes for you that are coming up. Wait till you hear what we have coming up in relation to Bimini. But what I will say about the hot zone is this. That's where Cayce said the ancient ruins of Atlantis were rising, right off of Bimini. And that whole area, as we've got into in the hot zone research, is if you are a member of the military, you work for a private corporation, you know, searching for minerals, scanning the ocean floor, you have to sign documents that if you see advanced ancient ruins down there, you cannot talk about them. That's the hot zone for you. And the way that it works is it's right off the Yucatan Peninsula on one side, the western tip of Cuba, and then into, you know, the coast of Florida and Bimini there. So right, that Bermuda Triangle overlaps it, in fact, but this area is the key area that we've brought forward. And there's such a rich history with it in relation to Hemingway, astronaut Gordon Cooper. I mean, there's so much information we put together on that. But what I would say is that when you consider that aspect of it, we could be looking at them looking at something which was a central authoritarian piece that could govern the whole thing during Earth changes. And that's where the continuity of government thing, they're thinking, you know, yeah, we can use the emergency to seize power. But they may also be looking at it as a kind of a government in waiting for the Earth changes, as they are tracking these things, I'm sure, extraordinarily closely. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is election 2024. Beat the deep state. That's all. That's the tagline right there. Hashtag beat the deep state. RFK Jr., Trump, the UFO file, COG World War III, question mark. Maybe it's just a question mark, but maybe they're doing something else with it and bringing that forward. We're taking your questions here. We're going to take a couple more questions and then wrap it up for tonight, as we're going to keep working on this important special that I've been telling you about, which is coming up on November 17th. That is the JFK 60th anniversary on the 22nd of November, and we're going to run this right through. So you'll have that for that weekend. And this is a very special production that we'll have for you at 8 p.m. on Friday, the 17th of November. But we're going to take a few more of your questions. I want to remind you also, if you're new here, to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for a newsletter. That's a free newsletter. It keeps us in touch. And, you know, we've been under tremendous, I mean, tremendous censorship. And I get the stories from everyone all the time. But I think it lets you know that a lot of the work that we're doing here and a lot of the conversations that we have here in the Ideas Room are exactly the types of things that they don't want people talking about, you know. And we got a big taste of that during the COVID thing about, you know, don't talk about anything important. Don't look at anybody in the supermarket. this is a very important test for them. The next test, and the danger of the UFO threat aspect, that they would create a false story about the UFO file. This is what gets confusing, because the UFO file is real. There's no question about it. There are all kinds of data points in relation to this. You know, so from our perspective in the study of the UFO file, there's no question that there are UFOs and there's an intelligent operation of that. The problem is the way they want to roll this out, and this relates directly to this election that we're looking at here in 2024, especially when you have two of the main players deeply, deeply involved in that UFO story, President Trump through his uncle and through his own presidency creating the Space Force, but that was John Trump, the uncle, over here at MIT, and he was the protege of Vannevar Bush. And what did Vannevar Bush do? He controlled the UFO file for three decades. So, you know, his protege, he sends him in to get the Tesla technology and study the Tesla death ray and all that. Is this a guy he's sharing the secret UFO technology with? I think you can rest assured. I think we've put that on the record. So therefore, Trump's very aware of that technology as well. Very tricky situation. Bobby had an opportunity during a podcast, and he said, I'm not talking about UFOs. And I don't blame him, because he's been incredibly transparent about so many things. However, you're missing a fantastic opportunity if you're Bobby and you are not talking about the UFO file, because so many people are plugged into this. And what is happening is the that CIA narrative put out intentionally by the intelligence community is the one that is dominating in the media, which is the home of the, you know, the CIA, the NSA, and all those who love to craft narratives. So therefore, these candidates who have a background in it can bring it to the fore. This is the weird thing about what the CIA has done. They've made it okay in their own media to talk about it. So good. Take that opportunity. Talk about it. Blow the goddamn whistle. All right, you're up.
Brian Kinney, how does the UFO file stack up against Gladio, church doctrinal warfare, and Tavistock culture creation? The public would ostensibly dismiss UFO talk as sensational nonsense, but Gladio, not so much.
Well, there's all kinds of things which would require an average person to go a level deeper. And you can see a person living in their ordinary everyday life could miss the implication of the UFO thing. It's been in the entertainment world for a number of years. Some great researchers, as I've mentioned, have lived and died with it. What's fascinating is, I think, literally over the last 5 years, the intelligence agencies have tried to co-opt it to such a point that that history, you know, I mean, people have traded these stories down. I mentioned my own grandmother having a story of sighting a cigar-shaped craft. And when you talk about it, people pass these stories down. They've had them for years. And they've had pilots. They've had people who've worked in secret programs. So we know unconsciously there's a gigantic unconscious network that we all plug into in relation to the subject. There's no question in my mind. So therefore, regardless of the manipulation around the issue, there's some unconscious knowing, I would say. So therefore, I would say that's a cause for optimism in terms of getting to the bottom of it. But can it be manipulated? Yeah, there's no question about it. That's the nature of the problem that I'm having with so much of the junk that got brought forward during the congressional hearings. The fact that the main witness, his lawyer, was the architect. That's Charles McCullough III. But Charles McCullough III is one of the architects of the Patriot Act. That's on record. That's in his own bio. And I remember some of these fans of Grush who wrote to me and said, you know, how you you can't smear a great hero like him by saying he was associated with the Patriot Act. And I said, well, I didn't say he was associated with the Patriot Act. I said his lawyer was. But that's pretty damn interesting, isn't it? And so the guy they show sitting behind him and like yelling out commands when he talks, he's one of the architects of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act. So you have to ask yourself, is that what you want for approaching this idea of the UFO file? You know, this is a serious question. And, you know, do you want that whole deep state, George W. Bush, Cheney, COG operation, you know, Patriot Act, TSA, warrantless wiretap? Do you want those people in charge of the UFO file? And you don't have to. There's no reason to deal with Grush or Elizondo or any of that stuff. There's a whole gigantic network around the world who studies this. You don't need the government version of disclosure at all. I mean, it'd be nice if you had real people in government who wanted to release those things, but sorry, it's not the way it worked out. So when you get guys, you know, in the field, like Knapp and Dolan, promoting those people and saying, they're heroes, you know, and they're insurgents against the real bad guys or whatever. You can't look when you have CIA people bringing forward this stuff. That's kind of the end of the story. They're under counterintelligence narrative. That's all there is to it. There's no insurgents in the CIA. It doesn't work like that. So get real about it. And, you know, you can get people who defect out of the CIA and, you know, that does happen. But in this case, you don't have any of these people like that. They basically went out with a narrative and did TV shows saying they were whistleblowers. And it turned out that, and it's something we pointed out, is they still worked for the government. And so we asked them, well, you can come on this show. I just want to ask you one question. Do you still work for the government? Those people would never come on this show because I would ask them the one question that the other people were sitting around going, you know, does your family, you know, is this tough on your family? Look, do you still work for the government? Let's start with that one. Oh, you still work for the government. Okay. Well, if the government, if you worked for them in counterintelligence, so part of your job then is to, you know, counterintelligence is lying essentially. So part of that job that you have is lying. So if you were told to lie as part of your job for the government, would you do that? You know, so how are they going to answer that? So they can't engage with real conversation like that. So all these people that they lay out, all the TV shows, all the money, all the $50 million that TTSA is in debt for, and the History Channel does the TV shows over it, they can't get to these basic questions about who these people are. That's the problem when you get around the UFO field. Everyone, you're dealing with the Dark Journalist Show. This is election 2024. Beat the deep state. UFO file, COG, World War III. And, you know, my very best to all the counter-intel people who've been manipulated into dealing with that subject, by the way, because let me tell you, it's been a real transparency. It's been a real lesson in transparency when the fake stuff has come forward. So if anything, you've helped us sharpen our skills. Okay, we'll take two more questions. And Miss Olivia, we are out.
Okay, so this is a grouping. Stan Waxberg, will Bobby be the new Ross Perot and guarantee a Biden reelection? Seems like the old, same old playbook. Waters Way says, Bernie and Bobby may have a lot in common. Rich Barris, the People's Pundit pollster, thinks RFK Jr. is a, quote, deep state plant. And Melissa's Mind says, how did Lyndon LaRouche sway during his many third party runs?
Well, see, Lyndon LaRouche ran from jail at one point, so we know it can be done. If they lock up Trump, he can still run from prison. There are other examples of that. There's a few interesting things there. First of all, Bobby's done so much. The deep state hates the Kennedys. You know, I mean, just get real. And especially of Bobby's stripe. He's brought so many things on the table. So some people will like certain positions he has or whatever. I think with the kind of level of transparency that he's brought forward around the COVID op, around government assassination of his uncle, President Kennedy, and his dad, Senator Kennedy, that, he's done an incredible service just running the campaign. There's no doubt about it. He'd make an incredible president, in fact. So the idea of the deep state promoting his candidacy, I don't see it at all. There was an earlier part to that question, but I think the thrust of it is basically like this. Bobby's position, if he were like Ross Perot, would mean that the incumbent would fall, because Ross Perot ran against George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. And it was H.W. Bush who was the president. And Perot ran in that race. And it was Bush and Perot who lost, and Clinton who got in with, you know, not a lot, with like 40% of the vote. So, and Perot got 20% of the vote. Remember, he got out of the race, and they never really explained. He came up with some weird thing about, oh, they threatened my daughter's wedding. You know, I don't think a guy is going to run for president and that's going to bother him. But he got back in for the last month. So what he would have had he held on, I think it would have been a three-way tie, and it probably nobody would have got 270 in 1992. So there were weird things there, including Perot's choice for VP. You know, there was a lot of weird things that were going on with that election. But on record, the way that sizes up is Perot ran and the incumbent was removed. So if that were the example, then Bobby running would mean Biden would be removed and Trump would get back. And here's the other thing that I think signals the dream team of Bobby and Trump could happen. Trump only has one term left, which would guarantee Bobby having the ability through his own grit, if they decided to work together, to be his VP and then run for two terms himself. That's pretty dramatic. Now there's a lot of things where they pointed against Bobby for this or for that and saying he'd never work with Trump or whatever. Look, he was going to be on a vaccine commission studying that for Trump before Bill Gates put the kibosh on it. So therefore, it's possible. And if anything, I think this time around, strangely enough, they both have a heck of a lot in common. Last question, Miss Olivia.
Okay, this is a late question and a great question. Hold on. Okay, number six. If President Trump is watching now, what would DJ tell him directly?
Very simple. All Trump needs to do is emphasize his 5-point plan or 7-point plan to get the economy back to where it was when he was president. That's the thing that they have not been emphasizing. They've emphasized the fact that they've been under incredible legal heat from the weaponized Justice Department. They've emphasized the border issue, which is a huge winning issue, and he should. The only thing that they've missed is stressing the economic plan that he would have that would turn all of this around. And maybe he's, you know, holding on to that for the 2024 aspect. But that's the thing that's missing here, I think, with Trump, is his incredible economic record. So if he puts that on the table, I think that's going to make him a very attractive choice. And I think people are already putting two and two together. They want to get out of this mess that, you know, Stepford Biden and his crazy committee running him have gotten the world into, right on the brink of World War III. So, you know, Bobby or Trump would be a much better constitutional choice. And I don't think the country as we know it can survive another term of this committee running things.
Right. It's kind of when Reagan was running and that whole thing about, you know, you may ask yourself, like, is your life better than it was?
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Yeah.
Trump can do this kind of in reverse.
He can. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because he only has one term left, because you can't run more than two terms, and he's already had one successful run as president. So it makes sense, as does the fact that Bobby can, you know, pick up on the glide of running this time. See, Bobby would make an excellent candidate to win, but they've stacked a lot of things against him also. So therefore, I think we're going to see how this plays out. But I think that joined forces, they are unstoppable. And I can see that as a very definite, reliable possibility. And with that, Miss Olivia, we are done for the evening.
I want to actually follow up on that a little bit.
Yeah.
The crazier that things get, we were just talking about this before the show, swing voters will swing to Trump, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
So usually absolutely. The thought is, if we're at war, we stick with the president we've got. But things suck now so much, and they're going to suck so much worse. I mean, I cannot see them swinging for Biden at all. And you want a strong president.
No question.
Who has a can-do attitude.
Well, the war footing that they want to put us on is, you know, it's not President Lincoln, the war is forced upon us. This is a war of choice over there in Ukraine, pouring billions of dollars into this effort when our counterparts were looking for a peace deal. Come on, you know, at least come in on that side. So if they don't accept it, you know, you have the ability of saying, we came in with a peace deal. Right now, they're just like, no, we don't even want peace. We're going to go at you. And the other side is winning. And all these people in the middle, their lives are being destroyed. So, no, we shouldn't pay $100 billion again to that whole weird situation. If anything, we should try to safeguard the citizens in Ukraine from ravages of war that have been unleashed. And what happens when you lose over 500,000 people, you know, who are conscription age? You know, that's the flower of Ukrainian youth that you're throwing away there. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of talk about making Ukraine into a smart city and that they want it to be the first smart country and it's going to be the new headquarters for the NWO. Look, I wouldn't be surprised, but in any case, this whole thing can be stopped with some type of approach internationally as a peace approach. It seems to me the people on the other side are ready for that. And, you know, in terms of the Middle East situation, trying to, as Biden did in a very dishonest fashion last night, tie in the Israel situation with Ukraine is, they're two totally different situations. And we do a lot to protect Israel, and we give them incredible amounts of money. So, you know, we're definitely on the right side there. If people are saying, oh, you're not supporting Israel enough, we're supporting them. make no mistake about it. And, you know, there are, as I said, legitimate situations in relation to terrorism surrounding that whole thing. And you have to go pretty deep into the history, including, you know, the creation of the Muslim Brotherhood, the connection on the Nazi side with that. So you're going to run into very deep strands in that area of the world. There's no question about it. And it's an incredible tragedy, the things that are happening there. But this thing where, you know, we're trying to be dragged into war type footing. And then you have the people that they're trying to drag us in with, you know, you have the Biden administration foolishly pushing this Ukraine thing, and then Russia, which supports Iran. The next thing is, you know, getting us into trouble with Iran. And so anyone, I think, who was sensible on the foreign policy side could get us out of both of those situations very quickly, instead of suggesting, hey, throw $100 billion at it. And by the way, we'll send troops there. And Biden, when he was stumbling around in his speech, talked about, well, we don't want to send troops into Russia. I mean, fighting Russia, you know, no, we're not going to have any troops anywhere near Russia. How's that? That's not any kind of sound foreign policy advice. And we have, you know, NATO there spread out pretty dramatically. There's no reason, unless we're getting hostilities from the Russians into NATO countries, for us to respond in any fashion like that. As a matter of fact, this situation with any kind of real diplomacy could have been avoided completely. And I honestly believe that, I believe it's been a boondoggle for the defense contractors on both sides. You know, that's the problem. It's this incredibly lucrative. And we haven't seemed to solve that problem. And with that, Miss Olivia?
Yeah, it's actually, when you take a step back and you go, it is insane. It is just, we're so used to it. You can't see it. That all the leaders of the world are these, you know, psychopaths who cannot agree not to war with each other. This is just the tragedy of humanity. Yes. These people are not fit to serve, to lead at all, right? We're just electing the wrong people again and again and again. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
That's really the truth.
Let me ask you this.
The problem is in the leadership, and that extends to the technology sector too. You know, like the Zuckerbergs and Bezos, and something happened with the leadership structure where it became inverted. The people on the ground were more advanced than the leadership. And so, you know, instead of aspiring to be these leaders, we're looking at these people who, you know, seem to have their empathy surgically removed somehow, along with aspects of their human intelligence. They have this other kind of AI intelligence they're plugged into. But there's something wrong with the culture around the ethics of the people involved in the tech community and, you know, so much of the corporate leadership. Exactly. Miss Olivia, we're done for tonight. What do you got?
Okay. So actually, I do want to throw you one more thing, just because I think this can round it up with sort of spiritual mystery school stuff. Red Cap Goblin said, I don't see anyone saving us beside ourselves. So what would that look like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, a sensible return to constitutional government on a political level. And, you know, when we've talked about mystery schools and things, that is the essence of moving the culture, because it goes one person at a time, after all. And, you know, so much of the bottom line is self-development. So we're talking here about waves of numerous people and the things that they support. And when you talk internationally, you have to get into that. But certainly a lot of the programs, like we're doing Mystery October here for you and studying things along the lines of esoteric teachings, that brings us into a different place and helps us to understand that there's something more to life than just the superficial world that's being presented to us by people who, you know, aren't really that advanced. And especially when you get into the media, they're so manipulated that I think there's a few things that you can do which don't require, you know, the kind of ethics and honesty. You know, you can study languages, you can study math, you can study all these different subjects, and it doesn't include this other factor. But if you want to study how the world operates, there's this layers of deceit involved, and it's like a minefield very often. So those tried and true paths of deep research, whether it's anthroposophy or the Casey work, provide a different, you know, it reawakens something, I think, latent inside of everyone. And so that's the deeper level of reality that we're talking about on this show. And it's been great to be here with everyone tonight. This has been Election 2024, Beat the Deep State, UFO File, COG, World War III, huh? We're going to be back with you, of course, next week. But coming up on November 17th, we have this incredibly important JFK and relating directly to the involvement of the UFO file in the 60th anniversary of his assassination. We're going to premiere that on Friday, November 17th at 8 p.m. Make sure you mark it on your calendar. And if you're on the newsletter list, we're going to let you know how you can access that. Just an incredible piece of work that we have been working on in the background for you to commemorate the anniversary. And you have super chatters.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Before that, I'm just going to say, don't postpone your joy, right? It's now.
Absolutely.
I've done that a lot in my life, and I have seen the light. Okay, let me thank.
Amen, amen.
Boba the Clown, Robert La Follette, Armorello Gunrunners, Helena Wilcox, Slow Time, Eurythmia is Fun, Bill Mayo, Terry Dougherty, Channeling the Heart, Barbara Joyce, Jay Parsons, Debbie McAdoo, Robert Scott, Dixie 504, Pete Benson, Mark Lane, Shazam, Fulcanelli, The Bikini Truther, Jonathan McIntosh, IMIMI, Brian Kinney, Iron Out, TMG2RFJ, Gigi Oaks, Number 6, Lou Dontol, Nancy Mercier, and Coperticus. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
Wow, incredible support, and we really appreciate it. And to all our subscribers and people who get behind the work that we do on this show, I want to say thank you, and it means everything to us. It helps us to keep going and to bring you this kind of level of research. We will be back with you next week. Have a fantastic weekend, and never let it be forgot. Once there was a Camelot, and Bobby's out there swinging away, so you just might get it again. Miss Olivia, fantastic job. Bravo. Nicely done. And I'll do a couple of shout outs before we go. We got Najat. Have a fabulous night. Thank you very much. Pumphrey, thank you all. Lou Weed, Terry Dougherty, Jim Marks. Excellent. Wow. We had Dr. Farrell out there. What a pleasure. And we're talking soon now because I'm done with this very interesting new book that Dr. Farrell has out. Very, very fascinating indeed. We've got Scientific Mystic, Scarlet Fire. What is that quote? I never would have agreed to the formulation of the Central Intelligence Agency back in 1947 if I had known it would become the American Gestapo. That is the Harry Truman quote. Think about that. We lost Garrison 31 years ago tomorrow. Right. That's the anniversary. Incredible. What incredible things he did. And we don't even know, because they've locked up the files on that, just how pertinent his observation about the aerospace wing would have changed the complexion of that whole case. And that's something that we bring out very substantially in the special we're doing on November 17th. Santiago, thank you. Great show, DJ and Olivia. Thanks for your great work. It's great to have you here. Mark Lane, very interesting. Joseph has that one. Yeah, Lane, of course, did the Rush to Judgment books and the incredible research around the CIA assassination of President Kennedy and their role involved. DJ, get some elderberry syrup and echinacea to boost your immune system. Every once in a while, walking around Cambridge, you see the echinacea. And, well, the stuff is incredible, just remarkable, absolutely. Maureen O'Brien, great to see you. Wow. Joan Q. Public. Julie Gardner, grateful to be here. We're grateful to have you. I love you all. Thank you very much. It's great to have you here. Of course, I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. We will be back with you all next week. Have a fantastic weekend. And you know, it says end broadcast, but after all, it never really ends. Have a fantastic night, everyone.
God bless everybody.
We'll see you soon.